Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Okay. You should have a sheet with a, I call that a rough outline, skeleton outline, and just bullet points, and we'll go through the text for each of these. And then we want to get down to number six, the reality and truth comes out. That's what we will look for, and we will work toward that. All right. Right before where we begin, Jesus is baptized. And that's the symbol of the beginning of his ministry. He's baptized by John in the River Jordan, and as soon as he is baptized, the voice of God comes down, "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," and he goes right from there into the desert to be tempted. And all Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that in that sequence. And so that is very important. And if you haven't learned this yet, this is the way it goes, okay? Let's suppose you make a important and big decision for God. When you do that, you are immediately tempted in some form. It's just the way we work. It's just the way we work, okay? And here's the way I say it, too. If you make it really a good decision for yourself and for God, and it's rather large in scale, hard telling what that might be, but you really ought to be thinking about such things now before the new year. Just use this as an opportunity since we're going to change years, make some changes that you know you want to make and need to make. But anyway, I say it this way. Once you make that good decision, every demon in hell knows your first name. They all of a sudden, they know your first name and will come pay you a visit. And I'm not sure all the reasons behind that, okay? I'm just saying that's just the way the world works. So if you might make some really big, important decision for you and the people around you, and then you fall into temptation and said, "Oh my, what did I do wrong?" Well, you may not have done anything wrong. That was the life of Jesus, okay? He went right from that baptism, that decision to start his ministry. And by the way, Luke tells us he's 30 years old when he does that. And he starts his ministry. He goes right into the temptation. Then you have, three of them. I think one, I can't remember. I didn't read those. Or tonight anyway, but I read Luke, and there's three of them in Luke. I think there are two of them is recorded in Mark, and I think Matthew has three of them. Don't quote me on that. Okay. All right. If I ask you, why did Jesus come? Okay, I know he came to die for us. I know he's going to raise again. But if you listen to his words of why he come, it's like in Mark, he says, "Oh, they find him praying." Okay, they look for him, they find him praying, and he's out praying in a place by himself, and he's praying there, and they come to tell him, "Everybody's looking for you." And he says, "No, let's go into the next town, that I might preach there, for that is why I came." Okay. And so you get right there. Now, I'm just talking about right there at the beginning, okay? What you get there is the mission of Jesus is to do what? Yeah, somebody got it. To preach. That's preach. To preach, okay? And he says, "Well, let's go to those towns." It's like, I can't preach here anymore. You know, they want other things. They want to be healed. They want all this. But he wants to do what? He wants to preach. So I'm going to this Baptist church. I'm a young man. Joan insisted that I start going to church. And so I started going to church. But you invited me. And so I'm going, and I did. I felt called to preach. Yeah. And so I went up and told the pastor, which I do. Invitation time comes. I make a decision. I go up and shake several times with you, huh? Several times I've done this. Okay. Thank you. But this was a big deal, okay? I felt like I was called to preach it. And I was talking to the pastor. I said, "Oh, pastor, I don't know what to do." And he said, "Well, you said you're called to preach. You ought to preach." Yeah. What? Who'd have thought? You know, it's a great idea. And so, but that's how I got started. And I guess what I wanted to say to you, preaching, don't ever, ever underestimate the power and privilege of preaching the word. Okay? Never underestimate that. Jesus did. And if he doesn't, neither should we. So we got Jesus just beginning his ministry now. He's making some rounds, okay? Let's go to our first one there. And he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Okay? So, how are people responding to him? Praising. Yeah, boy, you're doing a good job. Pat him on the back. Go get him. Boy, you got some good stuff. We like that. Amen, huh? Okay? All right. Let's go to the next verse. He went to Nazareth. His hometown now. He's going to take his message to his hometown where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. Now, I don't know how that works, okay? I mean, it's quite appropriate, obviously, for him to do it, but I don't know whether he was designated that morning or something like that. I don't know, okay? But he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. Now, that's pretty good. He must have been familiar with that whatever that scroll was. He must have been very familiar with it to be able to find that place in it. Because there wasn't no verses and chapters and that kind of thing, so... But he found it. Let's go to the next one now. Nope, that was it, wasn't it? Yeah, okay, go back. Yeah. And he's going to look at Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. They only had the Old Testament. They haven't got to the New Testament yet. So all he could talk about was the Old Testament. And he knew how to handle and a scroll, and that kind of thing. Okay? All right. Where's he at? Which is his hometown. His hometown. So he's on familiar turf. Okay. All right, let's go to the next one there. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and set the oppressed free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that's his reading there. Okay? And if you're familiar with this text at all, that's Isaiah 61. I think it starts with verse 1 in Isaiah, but it does it? Okay, it does start with verse 1. But there's a little change in the ending of it And it, obviously, Isaiah just keeps on going anyway. But that's roughly his text for the sermon that day. I don't know. I always have a text for my sermon. I know there are other ways to preach other than that, but I always have a text for my sermon. Now, if this was a text, what would you think the message would be about here? I mean, just roughly, what do you think that message would be about? I'm sorry? Yeah, oh, he does miracles? Okay. It's good news? So, he doesn't bring bad news. A lot of preachers haven't got that message yet.
That's true.
Well, it's what? Good news. And if you're poor, what would be some good news you might hear? Freedom? Yeah. And certainly freedom is part of his message, because for the prisoners, they get what? Yeah, they get to be free. They get to be free. And then you got recovery of sight to the blind and set the oppressed free. There's another freedom. Have you noticed that recurring theme? That is a human freedom is really an important topic. If you go to the Old Testament and you read about Moses, time and time again, the Lord has heard the cry of his people, and he has come down to do what? To deliver them, to set them free. Time and time again, he what? Hears the cry of his people and has come down to deliver them. From what? Well, whatever bothers you, prisoner, or poor, or blind, oppressed. And what's he proclaiming? The year of the Lord's favor, or the favorable year of the Lord. Joey. Amen. Amen. Later in this book, he'll tell them the well don't need a physician, just the sick need a physician. And then he'll say that golden verse of Luke, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, now that's his sermon, really, right there. And there might have been other things said around it, which we don't have. That I don't know. Okay. But that seems to be his sermon right there. And we'll go through the rest of the text, and we'll take a look at that and see what's going on there, and see if you can kind of agree with me that he got up and he opened the text and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Yeah, not on you, on me, is what he said, okay? Because he has anointed me. That's that anointing that Isaiah 61, yeah. No. Boy, that was great. Yeah, somebody wrote it for him. It was the prophet Isaiah. This is a prophecy of the Messiah coming. And everybody knows that's in that synagogue. they know that he's reading this, and this is a prophecy of Messiah when he comes. So yes, okay, for him, actually for him. Yeah, it was written actually for him. It's about him. It's about him because the Spirit has anointed him to do these things. Oh, no. Now we get, how many? I wanted to go 500, 700, but I don't know. We could look at it for a long time. Long time. Because I think you have 400 years, roughly, of quiet. Yeah, okay. I just marvel at the word you use because, yes, it was written for him. It's written about him. Yeah, and we'll see. Okay, we'll work on it. Okay, but this is his sermon. This is his sermon. Okay? Okay, let's go to the next one now. Let me see. Yeah, this is number 3. Okay. This is the conclusion? Yeah, this is the conclusion of his sermon. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Now, what's that? He stood up to read the text. So now he sat down. I assume that means I'm done. I think the first time I preached here, I went over here and sat down. That meant I was done. I'm sorry. We'll have better communications from now on. Okay, we'll do better. Sorry about that. Apologize publicly for that, okay? Okay, and so he come to the end of his sermon and he sat down. But the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. Right? He's got their attention. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Oh, those are solemn words. Yes. All the time you've been waiting for this text to be fulfilled, it's fulfilled today. Yes. It is. I mean, it's just magic. We were talking a little bit ahead of time. This Jesus, boy, he must have been something. We'll work on that. Okay, so that his conclusion of the sermon is what? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Here's the scripture. Now it's fulfilled in your hearing. And everybody in the synagogue now knew. They knew that this scripture was the Messiah, a prophecy of the Messiah. They knew that. And so, but the real kicker is, he says, today it's fulfilled in your hearing. That's the real kicker. That's because the text was nothing new to them. This here is new. This here is a word from the Lord. I get so unsure about myself at times, but I would like to think that I'd have wisdom enough to listen to him say those words. But a lot of people wouldn't, okay, but I would like to think, okay, but you know, we do stupid stuff all the time, you know, and you know how you are. By the way, that's a quote from Scott. So, okay, so we pretty much got this tidied up, right? Sermon's been preached. It had a conclusion. Let's go to response. We always want response, don't we? Yeah, we want some response. Oh, and look at the reviews he's getting. Oh, spoke well of him. Everybody in there spoke well of him. and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph? They want to claim him now from their hometown. Isn't this Joseph's son? See, they want that. We know him. We know his family. He was such a nice boy. All right. So now we got the response of the sermon, right? So we got sermon preached, we got the conclusion, and we have the response. Amen. We good? You all looking like this. Because you know there's something wrong with you when everybody likes you. All right, I just want to add that little side bit there. I just want to tell you, you know, there's something wrong with you when everybody likes you. Okay, somebody really ought to dislike you somewhere along the line. Okay, but not here. Jesus, everybody loves baby Jesus. That's what they're doing. They just love him. I'm telling you, he's bright. He's a shining star, isn't he? Amen. Now, let's go to the next one here. Okay. Jesus illustrates his sermon. He could have left that alone and left on a good note. He could have just left that alone. But no, not Jesus. What does he have to do? He has to illustrate the sermon. I told you about my friend that he was preaching in his church, and this was a mean church. And he was preaching in this church, and it was his first pastor, too, so he was green, and he was fresh out of seminary when he went there. Yeah, he was preaching, and a wise man in the church, maybe the only wise man in there, I don't know, I didn't know many of them, he told him, I said, Gary, if they ever figure out what you're telling them, he said, I'll run you off. What he told him? He's right. Okay, so now, let's see if they'll figure out what Jesus is telling. Okay. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But it looked like he was just accepted in his hometown, didn't it? Do you? Yeah, it looked like that. Yeah. Until he illustrates the sermon. Okay. That's why illustrations are really important in sermons. It's because people say, oh, that's a fine word. And then when you illustrate it to them, say, well, not so much. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Now, that was one of the reasons why I chose this for one of our great Bible stories was the widow of Zephirah. Okay. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. Okay? You remember that story? Let's sketch that one out, just real roughly, because maybe somebody doesn't remember that. Elijah, which is the premier prophet in the Old Testament. I mean, everybody. I mean, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah. Okay, so Elijah, he's premier prophet, and he shuts up the sky, and there's a famine in the land, and so he goes to this widow Zarephath. And you remember that interaction with her? He asked her for a drink, and she headed to get some water, and he said, oh, bring me a piece of bread, by the way, when you come back. And then she said, what? Yeah, I just got a little bit, and a little bit of oil. I'm going to mix that up and take these sticks I'm collecting now, cook this for me and my son, and then we'll then we'll die. That's a happy woman and positive thinker. Yeah. And but what? He said, bring me a piece of bread first, and she never run out of meal or oil. Flour or oil, I'm not sure what you call that. So, and then there was a real thing about her son, if you remember, but it's kind of tacked on to the last of it here. But there he is, Elijah, blessing this widow. And she eats really well, does real fine. Her boy does fine. He gets sick later. Elijah heals him and gives him back to her, and a great time, okay? That's illustration number one. We got that one? We kind of remember that text. Excellent. All right. Let me see. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha. This is sometime later. Protege of Elijah. Elisha is his name, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Okay. So you remember the story of Naaman? Go ahead. Yeah. It's all about the servants. Yeah, there's a prophet over there in Israel. Yeah, go talk to him. So he heads that way. And he's quite an important guy. He's got this entourage with him. He goes to the king, and the king scares the king because he thinks he's wanting to pick a fight. But he can't heal leprosy. The king can't heal leprosy. So he don't know what to do. They finally send him over to Elisha. And Elisha wouldn't what? Who remembers? Wouldn't even come out to see him. He sent his servant, Gehazi, we find out later his name's Gehazi. He sent his servant, no name servant out there to talk to him. And the servant told him what? Yeah. Go down there to the Jordan River and dip yourself seven times. And Naaman's response was what? I think I'm going to go home. And he took off. And one of his old servants then asked him, said, wouldn't you do some really great and hard feat? He said, yes, I would. Well, just try this real simple one. All about the servants. So the third servant to talk to him, finally he gets the message. He goes down there, dips himself in the river seven times. Every time I hear about that, I always think of the preacher that preaches seven ducks in a muddy pond. I always think of that. Okay, anyway. So now we've illustrated the sermon. We've had the sermon. We had that, didn't we? We had a response to the sermon. But Jesus didn't leave it go with that. He thinks he ought to illustrate the sermon. So now he illustrates the sermon. So I wonder what the response will be to this. Well, let's see what the response is. Isn't that where we go from here? Yeah, reality and truth comes out All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. What? Wasn't these the people that just loved him just minutes ago? Oh my gosh. They got up and drove him out of town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Holy schmoles, this is a disgruntled bunch of churchgoers, isn't it? Wow. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. These aren't the smartest people in the world either. So. And I want to remind you that this is just another indication that Jesus actually looked like everybody else. There was nothing that you could pick him out like pick him out of the crowd, because he would do this kind of stuff all the time. Now, if you know the answer, don't blurt it out. Okay? If you know the answer, don't blurt it out. But I want you to get together in a group of four, and I want you to figure out what in the world caused them to change and to do a pivot from our hometown boy with gracious words falling from his lips to let's kill the so-and-so as quick as we can. Just a little bit. You just sped up into four, and this is not an exercise to get the right one. This is an exercise on reading the Bible. On how do you read the Bible? And I want you to work at just trying to figure out what it is what that ticked them off. I do know the answer to this one. I just want to warn you. We'll probably need to go back to that Isaiah text. Okay. You guys doing good? You guys got the answer? Now this one, I think I know the answer to. Yeah. I just think I know the answer. I'm not. You know.
Then all of a sudden, only a few people. Anyway, I'm going to stick with that one. Sorry, I'm going to stick with it.
It's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I got my own opinion.
We want you to have one. We want you to have one. I want you to get a spokesman for your group now. Somebody push him out there and let him take all the darts and arrows. You need some more time. Take a couple of minutes. Two more minutes. Get somebody from your group. One, two, three, four. Is this all one group here? Okay. One, two, three, four. Four groups. You mean Isaiah or Elijah? Number five, can we get number five up there? Five. Next one. Okay. Yeah, take your time. We got a couple minutes. We're in no hurry. Why don't you get a spokesman for your group now? Somebody you can shove out there. And...
Well,
Okay, so we got it. Do we have a spokesman for your group? Okay, let's. Do we got an answer agreed upon? You guys? Okay, who wants to go first?
Kim wants to go first.
Okay, Kim. Why did they change from amazing words from his lips to try to kill him, push him off the hill? Why did they change in a few minutes? They were saying something.
Everybody was saying something like this.
Okay.
That's the one, Jay.
I didn't hear. How was he exempting them? Well, yeah, he's prophesying what they're going to do. That's it. They are fickle, but I wanted to say why in here. I think the reason there, you're getting warm with it. Okay. Linda, did you wind up as a spokesman for this? Adam, did you get the job of being a spokesman now? No. I think Philip said that. I think Philip had what? Can any good come out of Nazareth or something like that? I might not. I might have the wrong town. I might have this quote there. Okay. Is he doing that Jedi trick on you again? They had a secret weapon. Go back to that. Let me see. Number five again. Go back to number five again. Hopefully this is an exercise. This is one I think I know the answer to. Okay, but this is an exercise on reading the Bible. This is an exercise on what we can learn from it. So, let me see. I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them but to a widow in Zarephath. Where's Zarephath? Gentile area. Okay. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian. Yes. We don't mind having a Messiah. We just mind you having him. Yeah. And a deep racial hatred. And you were touched on that Sunday morning in Philippians, where Paul says of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day. Let me see, I can't remember. There's four or five of those things right there. Every one of those things has to do with his Jewishness. And what did Paul say about those things? Rubbish. Rubbish. He had to count them rubbish in order that what? To gain Christ. You got that. So he could not enter with that prideful racial. He had to set that aside. Okay? He had to set that aside. And that's what they're not willing to do here. They are not willing to set their racial pride and their particular position with God, set that aside for everyone, not just for me and mine. Yes. Yes. So that is what kicks them off. They don't mind the text as long as it just applies to them. They don't mind it even being illustrated, except he chose the wrong illustrations. Oh, amen, brother. Amen. Yeah. You ain't going to come in peace on a donkey? Well, we might be able to go along with that. We'll see how that goes along. But that, and this, and of course, who does this so dramatically? Who's the writer that does this so dramatically? Luke. Luke does this so dramatically. Well, what dog would Luke have in that fight? He's Gentile. He's the only Gentile writer in all the whole Bible. Hey, Tom? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He's got other stuff he's going to throw on him, too. But no, they're not going to get past this. These people are not going to get past this. And they are not going to get past that. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He could, again, I remember now, he could have let this go. He didn't have to illustrate this the way he did. He could have just let that go and everybody be patting him on the back, telling him what a good boy he is. But that's not what he came for. That's not what he came for. Okay. And anyway, excellent job, guys. I like. Well, you were all well thought out. Seriously. Oh, yeah. Good. Give yourself a hand. Yeah. Well thought out. I thought I knew the answer to this one. That's why I wanted to warn you ahead of time. Now, the other one I didn't know that you did this on. I didn't know the answer to. Okay. I thought I did, but I. You can't. You know, some things you can kind of be sure about. This is all on contingent. But you do see Zarephath and Sidon and Naaman is Assyrian. You know that. That's you know, those are Gentiles, and something really did tick them off. You know, but this is one of those that again Jesus could have not done it, but he reaches right out there and tweaks their nose. Yep. Okay. Let's see how mad I can get you today. Okay. Excellent job, guys. This will conclude our great Bible stories, 12 of them. And we will begin in, I'm not sure where, but we will begin to learn about Paul. And we will start up, I think it's the 12th of January, is it not? I think it's the 12th of January. Yeah, so we want to be off a little while. And all right, let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we do, again, ask your guidance, your spirit to guide us as we try to learn about your son in response to him. And just help us along our way. Be gentle with us. And make sure that we can come along. We're doing the best we can. Maybe next week we'll be able to do a little better. And we'll pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.